Ezekiel, the 9th chapter. Ezekiel chapter 9. Let's read verses 1 and 2. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them to have charge over the city, to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a rider's in corn, by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. We covered in verse 1, principally, the summons. The summons. He still, before the prophet Ezekiel, still the vision that began in chapter 8. Being with Ezekiel, he cried in his ear. He not only just cried in his ear, but he cried in his ear with a loud voice. Emphasis. Emphasis on what he was going to tell him. He wanted his watchman to hear what he was going to tell him, and it was very important. The work of a watchman is very important. And as they receive the warning and the remedy, they are to give forth the warning and the remedy. Tonight we want to, beginning to look at verse 2, we want to begin to look at their appearing, or the appearing. First of all, we have the summons. The summons, he cried into Ezekiel's ear, and Ezekiel was to summons those who had the charge over the city. In verse 2, we find those who were summoned appearing. Immediately, six men came. Remember the verse we read last week? Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah quickly in the 39th chapter. It's just back a few pages from Ezekiel. The 39th chapter and verse 3. We won't dwell too long on this because we looked at it some last week. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. They came in to Jerusalem. They came into the temple and sat in the middle gate. Even Nergal-Sharezer, Shamgar-Nebo, Sarsakim, Rabsaris, Nergal-Sharezer, Reb-Mag, with all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. Six names mentioned there. And princes. Princes of King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, they had charge over different things, but nonetheless, it was six. And these six came in to the middle gate there. We find six men being, well, actually seven being summoned. Six were destroyers. And it has been supposed that possibly the number six was one for each of the principal gates of Jerusalem. Nonetheless, they were a destroyer, and if it was for the gates, they were a destroyer for each gate to bring judgment. You say, judgment for what? A judgment for sin. We had looked at that a while back. There will be a payday. Sin. Sin has its penalty. For those who are without Christ, the penalty is death. For those who are Christ, it is reproof, rebuke, and even a scourging, a whipping, sometimes, if needed. But they came, and they came, our verse text tells us, with a slaughter weapon in their hand. They were prepared. They were prepared for the work that they were to do. They were prepared for the work in which they were called to. These men are thoroughly furnished on every good work. They were prepared physically. They were men of war. But it doesn't matter how big a man you are or how strong a man you are. If you go into war without a weapon, you're going to fall. So we find these men having a slaughter weapon. They were thoroughly prepared for the task that was before them. As I thought about this, and most of this came this afternoon, I have two or three verses. I've got a lot of verses now, as I thought about it. Turn with me to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 29 tells us in Romans 8, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Think about being called. You were called. Well, doesn't God's Word say that no man can come? No man has the ability to come to Christ? You can call them all you want, but if they don't have the ability, they're not going to come. Well, what must happen then? God gives the ability. Amen. God gives the ability. John 6:44. No man can come except the Father draw him. Except the Father enable him. And then, so all who are called of God are enabled of God to come. He empowers them. He gives them the ability to come to Christ. John 1, in verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see, he gave them whom he called the power. The power to come. The power to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the repentance of sins and eternal life. Everyone, then, whom he calls to salvation, he empowers them to come to salvation. He gives them the ability. They're thoroughly furnished unto good works. The Holy Spirit quickens, makes them alive, and they hear the call, and they're empowered to come. And those who come, then, are empowered for service. They are thoroughly furnished unto every good work. They're thoroughly furnished for the work for which God has given them to do. We're going to be looking at that on Sunday afternoons about grace given. Began it last week. We're going to continue it. Grace given, the gift of Christ. But that is speaking to His church. He saved you by His grace. He issued the call. He gave you the power to come. He placed you in His church, and now He gives you, as we're going to see on Sunday afternoon, the ability to do that which is, humanly speaking, impossible to do. He gives you the gift to do it. He gives you grace to do it. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10, and begin looking at some more scriptures here. Matthew 10, in verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, you see, he called them. They were already saved and baptized. And he called them now. He called them for a work that he wanted his people to do. And a special work it was for these 12. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. You see, he gave a special power unto his apostles because they were going to be apostles that he didn't give unto any other saved people, just his select apostles. And he gave power to do the works of Christ, the works of God. I say to you tonight, He has saved you. He's called you to salvation, given you the power, the ability to come. And that's not the end of it. Amen. He's got something more for you to do. And He will empower you to do it. Just as He did these 12 apostles. Let's continue on. In the 28th chapter, and verse 19. Verse 18, we know this passage of Scripture well. Jesus said unto them, unto his 11, at this point Judas is gone, Judas is dead, Jesus has been crucified, buried, and risen again. Amen. And now he's meeting with his 11. And he said unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is a commission that he gave to his church, and he said, I have all authority, I'm giving you, and I'm telling you to go into all the world, and he says, I'm going to empower you to go into all the world and preach the gospel and to baptize and to teach. And lo, I am with you always, enabling you to do that. Each one of us, as members of the Lord's church, are empowered to preach the gospel, to baptize the saved, and to continue to teach the old things unto them. Turn with me to the 25th chapter of Matthew, in verse 14. I'm not sure I wanted to put this verse where I did, but I thought I did at the time I put it there. But let's see. Verse 14 of the 25th chapter of Matthew. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, and called his own servants, and delivered unto them his goods. And you go down through there and you see that he gave varying talents to each one of them. He empowered them. He left with them the ability to do the work that he wanted them to do. He doesn't leave his people helpless. He wants them to do something, and he enables them to do it. He gives them, they're thoroughly furnished. That you have everything you need in Christ. Lord, he's with you, church. Now, on the day of Pentecost, power came onto the church, enabling them to do the commission in Acts 28, 18 through 20. Before that, they had Christ with them. Christ left. On the day of Pentecost, he sent his Spirit. And that was the power. That was the power, the enabling power for the church to go forth and to preach the gospel, to baptize the saved, and to teach the all things. You and I have the power today. The Holy Spirit is still with us. We're going to see that on Sunday afternoons as well. The Spirit was given unto the church the day of Pentecost. And it was a gift given. It was Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ to do His work. Now in Galatians, the book of Galatians, and this is a passage of Scripture that we looked at Sunday afternoon, but it fits in real well with our thoughts here tonight. And verse 8 of the second chapter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision. You got that? God wrought in Peter. Peter didn't have it in himself. God is something that God worked into Peter. And there was an apostleship to the Gentiles, or to the circumcision, to the Jew. The same was mighty in me toward the Gentile. In other words, what he's saying here is God wrought in Peter the apostleship to go to the circumcision, and he wrought in Paul the apostleship to go to the Gentiles. Amen. God worked it in him. God wanted Peter to go, and he gave him the ability to go. God wanted Paul to go, and he gave him the ability to go. Amen. And the desire, I might add. Yes, now, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Has that role four and few words. Okay. Now, Paul, why did Christ make known unto you? Well, let's continue to read. Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promises in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of the power. You see, it was God's grace, a gift given unto the Apostle Paul, enabling him to do that. Amen. He was called to a job. He was called to a ministry, and he was given the ability to do it. Verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You see, Paul wanted him to go to the Gentiles to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, to reveal, to make known the mystery, the church, amen, unto the Gentiles. And Jew and Gentile in the same body of Christ. Turn with me. 2 Timothy. So now, the Apostle Paul, instructing young Timothy, chapter 3, in verse 15, he said, "Now from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. As we hear the preaching of the Word, we get in the Word, and we read the Word, and we study the Word, the Holy Spirit teaches us, enabling us, making us, giving us the ability to do that which we're to do, making us thoroughly furnished unto all that God would have us to do. Otherwise, you won't have the ability apart from it. So, we're told in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in. If we are His workmanship, are we not empowered unto those good works? He's working it in us, is He not? Amen. He's working it in us. So, that's what He says in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 13. Philippians 2 and verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He wants you to do something. He works it in you to do it. You can't take credit for it. It's God doing it. But you don't do it, you're going to suffer loss. And you can't blame God for it. Because He's working in you to do it. To both to do and the will of His good pleasure. You see. One more. And if you'll permit me to use this one. He had been talking about giving. So in the contextual setting, certainly is in regards to the grace of giving, which He gives to His churches, and gives to individual members of His churches to be able to give to help in that area of giving. But He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, after saying what He did about giving, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, just as He did unto the churches of Macedonia, which were poor. They gave out of their deep poverty. What? How were they able to give out of their poverty? God's grace. God's grace. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. All grace abound toward you. That ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Wow. That sounds to me like I have no excuses for not doing what God would have me to do. Because He makes all grace abound to That ye always having all sufficiency. I have all sufficiency in all things. Whereof I can abound unto every good work. And that's you too. That's each one of us here tonight. We have the same God. We have the same Savior. We have the same grace that God enabling to do. Listen, I have experienced it, as have many a pastors, many a missionary, many members of the body of Christ have experienced it. God wanting them to do, not having the ability within themselves to do, but they just submitted to what God would, they knew God would have them to do. God made them able. He fully equipped them for the task that they were to do. You've probably heard it before, and I've run into many a pastor just like myself. This was the furthest thing from our minds. I've told you all about having to give speeches in class, in school, book reports in school. I would take an F or an incomplete. I wasn't getting up there in front of a group of people and talking. God calls me to preach and to pastor one of His churches. You see, it wasn't in Seth Bourne, but He makes me able. And each time I stand in this pulpit, each time I stand in another pulpit, He gives me the ability to. Furthermore, I have no ability to understand a lot of things in this book, but He gives it to me, and He gives it to you.